Amen. Let us thank God on tonight. God is good. Excuse me for my tire on tonight. Went to the doctor and kind of got a little late and got lazy, being honest. But the word of God, we're going to go and we're going to talk about prayer, but in a different manner. Coming from a very familiar passage of scripture, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And it read as follows. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, how long? Forever. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for opening up in this door. It was you that done it. Thank you, Lord God, for your people that are here to hear what the Lord has to say tonight through the word. And Lord, we just thank you for Sister Wheelock for the word that she brought. Amen. A rhema word, Lord. Thank you. How you use her. Thank you that she's a gift to the body. And Lord, and we thank you for that. And we just thank you, Lord, for this place, Harvest. And we thank you for the saints that are here. But most of all, we thank you that you are here. Because Harvest wouldn't be nothing without you. It'll just be a building. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you dwell here, that you live here, that you abide, and that your eyes are up on this place, and that your hand is up on this place for good. And Lord, and we just thank you, Lord God, for the best is yet to come. And we just give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about prayer just for a few minutes, if you allow me. But as I say, in a different manner, when we think about prayer, so many of God's people don't enjoy prayer because what they get out of prayer. A lot of times God people look at prayer as a burden instead of a blessing. And so when prayer becomes a burden, you don't find yourself spending time with God in prayer. Now, all of us, if I was asked the question, do we pray? All of us would say, yes, I pray. But where we can struggle a lot of time is being consistent in our prayer time. And a lot of times when we pray, it's because of, if we're honest, what's going on in our lives. And that caused us to run to God in prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but that shouldn't be the only reason why I do pray. Because if that's the only reason why I do pray, I won't stay connected. And when I don't stay connected, I find myself coming disconnected. And you could just take a plug, some kind of appliance. You unplug that appliance from the power where the power can't flow through the plug. And so if the power can't flow through the plug, then what happened is whatever is connected is disconnected, then it cannot function like it's supposed to. Why? Because it's disconnected. And a lot of times we can't function. We become dysfunction because we find ourselves being disconnected and we take vacations, recess, pauses from prayer. Because why? Because, well, ain't nothing really going on in my life right now. Okay, God, I'll talk to you later. I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, wash my face, move on, and say a little prayer at breakfast time. But other than that, God don't have no time. And when I get home, I'm so tired, I lay myself down to sleep. And before I finish my prayer, I don't fall to sleep. So God don't have no time with us at all that day. But I want to go to the scripture here. It's the Our Father. All these going to start with P. P. Break this up. It's six parts. P. Parental. Our Father. Say Father. Okay. God is our spiritual parent. He's our Father. Now, why is that important? Because a lot of times you hear people make this say, he's the man upstairs. Well, if that's the only way you see God, that's shallow thinking. That's carnal thinking. That's fleshly, because he's more than a man upstairs. When you say the man upstairs, that could be anybody upstairs. God has a name. And his name is Jehovah. His name is Elohim. When his name is El Shaddai, he's the Almighty. He's the great I am. He's Emmanuel. He's the bishop of your soul. He's your comforter. He's your God. He's your strength. He's your shield. And he's your shelter. Now, if you just say the man upstairs, that can refer to anybody. But no. Let's go deeper than that. Let's go deeper than that. Okay, when I say he's my Father, that means I have a relationship with him. A relationship. Now, a lot of us stop there with the relationship because God wants us not only to have a relationship, but to fellowship. And in the Greek, that's koinonia. To fellowship. Okay, now to fellowship with God, that means that you have to spend time with God. Now, not only just to spend time, but you got to make time. Because it's just not in us just to seek God. You have to put forth an effort to seek God. Look, let me tell you something. You got to put God on your agenda. You got to put him on your list. You got to make him priority in your life. Now, if you don't do that, you will just have a relationship but no fellowship. Now, fellowship will lead to intimacy. Now, when most of the time when we hear intimacy, we think of the word, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if we got you. I want to be careful to say that. But if that's the only time you can look at that word intimacy is that, then yeah, that's shallow thinking. Because you can get that anywhere. And that don't mean that you have an intimacy. Now, intimacy means I'm close to the one. I'm fellowshipping with. Intimacy means I'm familiar with that person. Now, in order to be familiar with that person, I'm spending time with that person. Now, watch this. If I don't spend no time with you, I don't value you. If I don't spend no time with you, that's saying that you don't have no worth to me. When I spend time with you, that's saying that I appreciate you. And I'm not only coming to you for convenience. When I want something. You know how that could go in a relationship. And sometimes, I know what Johnny want. He pushing the button. But there's no intimacy there. There's no value there. There's no worth there. And so what happened is I lose the affection. Because why? Because there's no, you're not valuing me. See, when you value somebody, oh my, they don't mind being around you. And sometimes we don't enjoy God because we don't loving being around him. We seek him more of his hand than his heart. Some of us, just like the children at Christmas time, we see God as Santa Claus. What you can give me, Lord, and then I don't come back to Christmas time. And Christmas time can be in January. Christmas time can be in February. It could be in March. Because why? Because I'm only coming to God because why? There's a need. And let me tell you something. We got to get to this place where I love God. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking from God. I'm not saying don't ask. But what I'm saying is you got to learn just to enjoy his presence. It's just like with a husband and a wife. You got to listen. The woman all the time just don't want you to touch her for that. Come on now. Oh, it got quiet on that. I went somewhere when I said that. Amen. Sometimes she just wants you to hold her. Oh. Tell me how pretty I look. Tell me how valuable I am. Amen. Glory to God. It's just us tonight without that. Come on now. Hey, that's the way God is. God wants you to come and just to fellowship, enjoy him, and love on him without that. Well, you know what that can be. Come on now. And so that's the way God is. He wants us to fellowship with him, to stay connected to him, to love on him. And one day as I was praising God, and I could just hear my spirit say, Lord, this is my love letter to you. Sometimes that woman just wants you to give her a love letter. Come on. The next thing is, have to move hurry along. It said, hallowed be thy name. God love praise. God love praise. The Bible said, let everything that have breath what? Praise the Lord. That's right. Now, we love praise. We made in his image. Nobody here wants to be criticized. Oh, it does something to us when somebody praise us, compliment us. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. It does. Now, sometimes praise can leave an impression on us. Amen. So God loves to be praised for who he is. Not so much for what he can do. Okay, now Jesus take it deeper in the New Testament. He said praise is deeper. Worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Now notice what he said. Let everything, anybody can praise God, but everybody can worship God. A sinner can praise God, but he can't worship God because he don't have the spirit of God. In order for me to worship God, I have to have his spirit. And what does his spirit say? I have his nature. And so he said to worship him in spirit and truth. And listen what he said here. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Now he don't say that by praising him. But he said that by worshiping him. Because when you worship God, it's a lifestyle. Listen. When you really love God, don't nobody really have to pump you and prive you to praise him. You don't really have to have a reason. You don't have to wait till you get a check in the mail. You don't have to wait till you get a promotion. You don't have to wait till you get a car. You don't have to wait till you get a house. You just praise him. Why? Because you love him. Now, what happened when you praise him? I'm going to take the word P-R-A-I-S-E right quick. When you praise him, you experience his peace. The peace that passes all understanding. When you praise God. When you praise God, you'll get refreshed. Because sometimes along the way, we get a little rusty. Sometimes we get a little dull. Oh, sometimes we pick up things along the way. So God had to refresh them. So when I praise God, I get refreshed. It's a renewing. It's a revival. It's a restoration. When I praise him, he unveiled himself to me. Oh, you know what? Somebody gave me a revelation the other day. When we pray, we come into God. But when we praise and worship him, he coming to us. Sometimes you need God to come to you. Sometimes you say, Lord, where are you? But when you get to praise him, he'll show up. You don't see him, but you feel him. God, you don't see the wind, but you feel the wind. And you don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. So when God shows up, you will see the effects of his presence. He'll inspire you. He'll give you strength. And after he gives you strength, he endures. You can walk a little bit further. All right. Let your will be done in heaven. Your kingdom come. Okay, watch this. God has a program, P. He has a program. And a lot of time, this is where we can miss it because our prayers are mostly, okay, Lord, give me. I need this. I need that. I'm not saying don't pray that. But don't let the prayer be just focused on you. Say, okay now, Lord, what your will is for me today? What your program is? What you want me to do on today? What did I tell you? Ask God, what you want me to do? What your will is for me to do? Lord, who can I bless on today? A lot of time here, who can bless me on today? Yeah. Who can bless me? I'm looking for a blessing. I'm expecting a blessing. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that, but that's on you. But you got to get your mind. The Bible said, those that have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So my mind will become like the mind of Christ. Because, Lord, what's your programming? What's your will is? And let me tell you something. We should never get to the place where my prayer just become a ritual or a formality. My prayer show, we should get to this place, and it takes time, and it's a problem. Well, my prayer is spirit-led. And one reason why we don't enjoy the prayer of when we come, because you know, we just pray a certain way all the time. This the way, that's the way, this way. Oh, Lord. You don't get nothing out of it. But once the prayer start become spirit, know that Jesus always kept his attention on the Father. God, what's your program is? What's your project? Lord, what is it? And you'd be surprised once you just get quiet before God, how God is saying, well, I want you to do this today. I want you to bless somebody today. I want you to encourage somebody today. And I want you to just think about this. Somebody need your prayer. Amen. Moving on. For the sake of time, okay, we see parent, we see praise, we see God's program. Then the next thing is provision. Give us this day now. Here come God. Now God said, now you don't took care of my business. Now I'm going to take care of your business. Yeah, 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 yeah. Give me this day my daily bread. Yeah, yeah. Now God said, now you don't express your love toward me. You don't salt my heart and not my hand. Now, since you done all that, I'm going to ask you a question. Turn around. What you want on today? What you need on today? And what did the scripture say? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because why? You don't pray this way. Heavenly first. Now God is focused on you. Give me this day my daily bread. Whatever your bread is. Now, you know, we need food to eat. And water to survive. We can't live without that. So God is concerned about those things. So that's why he said, give me this day. He knows, he said, daily bread. As the pastor was saying, son, take it one day at a time. Don't worry about it tomorrow. Let God take care of you today. Today. That's right. Be concerned only for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And now, let me say this here because it's in my spirit. Now, God, that's not saying that don't make no plans. It's not saying don't be prepared. No. That ain't what God's saying, because a wise man always plans. A wise man always prepares. So God said, this day, whatever it is, and it might not be just your bread. Sometimes it might be a mental thing that you need today. Sometimes it might be your emotions that you need God to work on today. Do something on the inside. Yeah. Sometimes you might just need God just to give you a rhema word. Go. What's your face? Okay, God, give me wisdom in this so I won't make a bad decision. So I won't lead to my own. I don't want to lead to my own, because, Lord, I don't really know what to do about this situation. But if you show me what to do, Lord, I come out on the other side with the victory. So God don't want you to be no failure. He wants you to be victorious. So if I acknowledge him, he said, acknowledge him in all of your way. Not what you think. Well, I know how to handle this situation. And then you handling it, then it's a bigger mess than what it was. And isn't it amazing how the little things we think we handle, and we just try to handle it in our own strength, our own wisdom, lead to our own intellect, and then we come to find out down the road, oh my God, Lord, that little old thing will turn into a big old mountain. Because I lean to my own understanding. And just watch them people that say, girl, if I was you, this is what I would do. I is in that. Get I out of the way. Right. Now the question is, what would the Lord do? Okay, moving on. It say, forgive us, ponder. Another word for forgiveness, P, ponder. And let me say this out of love. Let's be honest. Can we be real here? Let's be real here. Sister Mother Wheelock was saying, sometimes, you know, we say saints make mistakes. You know, we like to say that. But let's call it what it is, sin. Come on, you know, we like to fix it up. We don't want to offend nobody. But just call it what it is, sin. S-I-N. And my friend told me, S-I-N, God gave me selfish in nature. So let's call it what it is. No, I'm not here to put nobody down the past, judgment on nobody. But no, that's not fair. When we give it, let's just be negative and true and be real. Yeah. like we like to say, keep it real. Okay, and the word says, if we confess our sin, that means to come in agreement with God. So God call it sin, call it what it is. If you got angry, say, Lord, I got angry. Don't say, Lord, I. Ain't like you can't get the word out. But when you was mad and saying what you said, you know what you said. But now when you get before God, call it what it is. See. See. Now, forgiveness is a relationship word. It says, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So that means we have to forgive people. And let us be honest. When you're dealing with people, they're not perfect. In order for a relationship to be strong, whether it's heavenly or earthly, you have to forgive. You can't hold on to grudges. You can't hold on. And listen, and let's just be real here. Come on, come on. Sometime in the church, your feelings going to get hurt. That's right. Come on, come on. You're dealing with people. Sometimes people going to say things to you they ought not to say. Do things to you they ought not to do. But you have to forgive them. I said forgive them, not avoid them. Now, sometimes we like to avoid and we think we being led of the Lord. But that's your flesh. Now, I'm not saying to stay there and be made a fool out of. But what I am saying is, telling that person like, okay, let me give you this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Be tenderhearted one to another, kindhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath forgiven you for the sake of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Ponder. So you got to forgive people. Okay, the next thing is protection. Say protection. Protection. Hurry along right here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Divine. We need God's divine protection every day. Because you don't know what you're going to face throughout the day. Now, lead us not into temptation. I like the way I heard a woman. Lord, lead me not into temptation so I won't make you look bad. Deliver us from evil. So that's God's divine protection. If we pray that over, now you when you pray that, it's some things that won't happen to you that you're not even aware of. Because you don't pray God divine protection. This and that is happening there, over there, over there, over there. But it's not because God's protection. His hand is up on your life. He's your shield. He's your shelter. And he's protecting you from the fiery darts of the enemy. And Lord, he said, lead us not into temptation. Temptation. Well, that is to pull us out of the will of God. Now, watch this. Listen to me right here, right quick. Watch. See, let me tell you. So that's why you got to spend time with God so you could be sensitive to his spirit. Now, watch this. Sometimes you can be watching something that's not edifying. And the spirit say, don't watch it. Leave it alone. Then you just, you make a sky. Well, ain't nothing really wrong with that. What's wrong with that? That all that evilness, and the Bible says, stay for the appearance of evil. All that stuff going on, you just watching that, and the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost be talking to you, this and that. That you need to disconnect from that person. Oh, it got quiet when I said that. Sometimes some people you don't need to hang around because of their mindset. The words that are coming out of their mouth. And it don't mean that you think you better, but the Holy Ghost, where he trying to take you, they can't go. And so God don't want you to hang it around everybody. Notice when Jesus, he had three people he was close to, James, John, and Peter. It didn't mean that he didn't love the other side, but that's the one he was intimate with, close to. So listen, if the Holy Ghost say, turn that song off, you don't got your heart broken, you know, let's be honest, God don't care, so I listen to why she gone, why he left me. And God tell you to turn that off because it's going to lead you down self-pity, depression, sad. Then before you know it, you're picking up the phone and calling him. God says, no, don't call him. You call, why you go? Why you left me? So you got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. When God tell you to take a left, don't take a right. Moving on in the last thing here. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Most biblical scholars will call this a doxology. Yes, it's a type of praise. It's an utterance of praise. Glory to God. He said, for thine is the kingdom. What? When he said, thine is the kingdom, that means he's ruled and he reigned. Yes. He's king, yes, and he's Lord. For thine is the kingdom. That's only one true kingdom. All other kingdoms have passed and vanished away. For thine is the power. That means he has complete authority. He's still in control. You know, we still here. It's still the after effects of because Trump. Well, we shouldn't be fought out because Trump won. No. God's still sitting on the throne. God is over Trump. God still rule. He still right. He got authority. So if God allowed Trump to be elected, you know what? God know what he do. And let me tell you something. If you're a student of the Bible, you'll see this in the Word of God. God do allow evil rulers to reign. Yes, to accomplish his will. When Israel messed up and disobeyed God, God used the cherubims, who was Babylon, to chastise his people. So God will use evil people to accomplish his will, unknown to all, because, well, this can't be God. No. See, God's thoughts are not your thoughts. And his ways are not your ways. And see, God don't think like you think. And all of your blessings not going to come from a saint. Sometimes God will use the sinner man to bless you. He be the one to give you the promotion. He be the one to write the check for you. But you ain't going to say that's the devil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When we praise God, his glory is revealed. His glory. What we desire is his glory. Once his glory show up, God would do in the service what need to be done. Let us stand. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for prayer. And Lord, help all of us to do better. When it comes to our prayer walk, when it comes to our prayer life, help us to do better. Help us to start seeking your heart and not your hand, to get acquainted who you are so we can be closer to you, familiar with you, so we won't have to be guessing, say, is this the Lord or is this not the Lord? Well, something told me. I want to know that you told me, because you say a sheep know your voice. And Lord, and we thank you, and we give you glory, and we give you praise. In your son Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. Let's give God a hand praise.